So, we have been talking.
We've been talking about relationships.
About relationships.
Oh, we did. Adam and Eve,
you did Adam and Eve the first week, you did Jacob and Esau the second week, and now we're going to do another one. All right? So, can you remember what the good things were about a relationship? What you told me.
Trust.
Loyalty.
Honesty.
Communication.
Trust. Loyalty.
Honesty.
Honesty.
Love.
Love.
Communication. Doing what is right.
Communication. Oh, man, there's a lot of extra I's in there. Or M's or something. doing what's right. I heard that.
Recognizing when you're wrong.
Recognizing you're wrong.
Well, respect.
Each other.
Respect.
And admitting, right? Recognizing and admitting.
Helping each other.
So one is helping each other do what's right.
Yeah.
And I did hear another one, and I don't
respect.
Think I got respect. Excellent.
Honesty.
Was that it?
6, 7, 8.
I think there were 9.
Humbleness.
Humble.
Yeah.
Humble. 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 Okay. We got it. Okay. Excellent. Wow. You guys are... That's excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Part of it is because I went back and listened to the other show because it was so funny.
Oh, great. I'm glad.
I want to listen to this.
So, we are going to talk about fighting siblings today.
Oh, yeah.
Cain and Abel.
Not Cain and Abel. No. Nope. Fighting siblings, and I'm sure that if you have a sibling, you've never fought with them. I'm positive of that, because all you are peacemakers in this place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is a pretty relevant relationship, is your siblings, because no matter what happens, when you are put into a very small place, okay, with extra people, and those extra people think totally different than you do, oftentimes you run into this little battle that goes on. Sometimes there are words exchanged. Sometimes they're mean words, okay? Sometimes there's punches exchanged, okay? So every one of you that has a sibling, I am sure, has fought with them. Whether you are an outright fighter with your fists, or you are a slam the door, walk away, angry for 6 months, I'm going to punish them with all of my thoughts and words and no words or whatever I need to do, okay? All those little things, there's battles that go on in households, all right? What drives them? Well, just about anything. Any word that you say, I can take and will use against you. And that's how that happens with siblings. Brothers and sisters, it happens all of the time, all right? So last week you talked about a couple of different siblings. This week we're going to have something that's a little different, in that there are many siblings in this group, okay? And you probably know the family. We'll get there in a second, okay? Many siblings in this group, but there's one favorite. Oh, man. That is unfair. Yes, so let's turn to Genesis, chapter 37.
Genesis,
chapter 37, very first book of the Bible. Verse number 1, okay, we're going to read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, since you prayed, we'll start with you. 1, 2, 3, and 4, please. Chapter 37 of Genesis, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. Nice and loud. Yeah, you.
Now Jacob dwelt in the land, where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan.
These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years.
Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors.
When his brothers saw that their mother loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him.
Okay, so here we are. There are several things that have already happened in there. There are some things that are written directly about what they do in their interaction, but there's a setting in that family that has created a problem to begin with. Okay? Before Joseph or any of the siblings get involved, there's already a problem that creates stress in the family structure. What is it?
Jacob has a fever.
Before that.
They have different moms.
So, there's already stress created because in this culture, at this time, it was culturally acceptable for a man to have several wives. And so he did. He had several wives, which when Jacob originally made a deal, okay, for his original wife, he made a deal for Rachel. She was beautiful. He fell in love with her. He worked for 7 years to build up enough equity with her father to be able to marry her. All right? And on the night of their wedding, her father slipped her sister in the dark in the bedroom. Okay? And that was the way it happened, was the older, uglier sister got put in place. Well, now let's put yourself here. First of all, with a Jewish wedding, and these people live in tents, okay? So lighting is probably non-existent, and women wore veils right till the very end, till you're in the dark, okay? So, yes, it could happen. And it did happen. Yeah, all right. And he woke up the next morning and said, "Who are you? You're not who I married." Went to her father, and the father said, "Oh, well, we have a custom in our land. We don't marry off the younger daughters first. So work for another 7 years, and you get her."
Oh, man.
Okay. So, her father, both of their fathers, he was just a conniver. Okay, so it created stress already. Now he's got two wives. All right? And it also happened that they had, when you were wealthy, you had women servants. They called them handmaids. Okay? And sometimes in that culture, if you couldn't have a child, you would put your handmaid in place of you.
Oh, that happened with
me. Mm-hmm. But that was not God's plan to do that, but they would do it anyways, because the more children they had, the wealthier type of a family that they were, showing God's blessing on their family, although they were often manipulating the circumstances. Already stressful. So you're putting in four women, two of the wives and two of their handmaids, in with children from everybody. So already, and if you've ever lived in a home where you have that, you've got stress. Okay? Now, you put them all together, there are not one or two or six children, there are a dozen children all together. A dozen brothers and more sisters. We don't know the exact number of sisters. Okay? These dozen children become the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So, out of them. Now, they are at each other. So that's the very first thing. Now, what else do we see? Now, some of you guys picked out some clues in that text. So, first of all, we have, I'll call it, fractured family. Okay?
So they're all like stepbrothers.
Each one is a stepbrother. I mean, there's some from each one, but some of them are stepbrothers.
Yeah, half-brothers.
Half-brothers, yes, I guess they're half. So, half-brothers and sisters to each other, and two of them only come from Rachel. the favorite wife, okay? And one of them is Joseph, and one of them is Benjamin, who's the youngest of the whole crew, okay? And you know what happens with the youngest one.
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy. Always treated differently, right? I think mom and dad are just tired no matter what by the time they get to the last one, all right? Always with a single kid or the last one in the crew, always treated differently. And everybody who's an older sibling will tell you that, right?
Yes.
Yes, right. Probably not fair, right? That is the nature of every family dynamic that has ever been known, okay? It is how it works, and I don't know why, but it just seems to work that way, all right? Everyone, and someday we'll talk about birth order and things like that. We'll get into that someday. But every firstborn has certain qualities. Every lastborn has certain qualities. Every middle child has certain qualities. And it doesn't matter what it is, they struggle with the same thing from family to family to family. Different circumstances, but the same core struggles, okay? So, we've got a fractured family to begin with. And then we have, somebody said it, Joseph is?
Favorite.
Joseph is a favorite.
Because he has a nice little coat.
Well, not yet, but he will. He'll have a nice little coat because he's the favorite, all right? So we have a favorite family. And there was something else in there. What does Joseph do that creates problems?
He snitches on them.
What's he? It says in there whether he read it.
An evil report.
He gives an evil report of his brothers. What do you call that?
Snitch.
A snitch or a tattletale, right? Right? So Joseph is a snitch. And we look at Joseph and say, oh, he's such a man filled with faith. And he was so great. And all this kind of. Well, he's a little snitch. That's what he is. To begin with, just like his father, who was one of the worst liars and cheats that there was. Okay? Jacob lied and cheated and did all sorts of things. And you learned about Jacob with Esau. All right? Esau did stupid things. But Jacob lied and cheated. Right? So together they made some really bad choices and bad family dynamics. Well, Jacob has now passed it to his children and has created favorites. I like him best. So whatever he says about all the older brothers, oh man, oh he does believe it. He believes it. And he's going to act on it. Joseph, you're so perfect. Let me give you a present. Your brothers are terrible. All the things you tell me about them, they're terrible. Right? And if you've ever been in a family, you'll find as you're in a lineup in the family, somewhere along the line, that it always seems that there's somebody that feels like mom and dad never listen to them, but always listen to somebody else. Okay? And I don't care what family it is, and the most fair parents you can think of, there is always a feeling that no one listens to me about it. Okay? Because you are who you are. You're a different person. Right? You're trying to express what you want or think or feel about something, and no one listens to me. All right? So what happens to that? That creates turmoil. And what's the very last thing that you find about how they communicate amongst their brothers?
They don't talk nice to each other.
Okay. They cannot say a nice word to each other. They just don't. They are at each other's throats constantly, okay? Nice dinner table conversation, right? Except it's not, because always there are things. Now, you may believe that your pastor has, because he's such a wonderful guy, and he is. When he was young, they had some boisterous times at the dinner table. And there were the older brother was often very, I will tell you how to do things, all right? And so one day, he told my father, pass the potatoes. And he didn't pass them. And my dad reached in front of his brother, and he tattletaled on him and said, what a terrible, awful thing he did, all right, by reaching in front of him, and he's like an animal at the table and this and that. So the next time, after he corrected him, his brother reached in front of him, so he stabbed him with a fork. Okay. And he stopped reaching in front of him, I guess. Okay? So those kinds of things can happen, right? You did it, didn't you?
Fork. Yes. I stabbed her with a fork at Jenny's because she was taking food off my plate.
Okay. So these things are pretty common in families. We've all had our times. But these ones, they cannot peaceably speak to one another. In other words, they are just at each other every single moment about everything. Anything one child says, the other one is against them, okay? Because they're different, okay? Family dynamics are always such that they're like that. So they have no peaceful words. All right? No peaceful words. How are they doing so far? Not good.
Not good.
They communicate, right?
Not well.
Angry. The only loyalty is they probably have small cliques that they're loyal to one another. They figured out a way in the big group to stay loyal to certain people, but not to others. Okay? Nobody's loyal to Joseph except the dad, because they all hate him. Right?
What about Benjamin?
Benjamin really probably is young and never leaves mom or dad's side for a long time. Okay, so he's not really in play until later in life. Okay, there you go. How's that one too? There's a family problem because the youngest becomes babied. All right, and you'll see even later on in life they still baby the youngest one. It's just how it is. All right, there's no respect amongst one another. They don't trust each other. I would say love is not really in their language at this point. Okay, all these things. Honesty. Well, we're going to find out about honesty next. So, chapter 37, verse 11 through 14, we're going to pick up, okay? I'm going to tell you the story because we don't have time to read the whole thing. We're going to start at 11. But know this. Joseph had two dreams, okay? You guys may know this story. His two dreams were this. In my dream, I was standing there, and I saw 11 sheaves of wheat. And those 11 sheaves of wheat in the field all bowed down to me and worshipped me. Okay? And God showed me that those 11 sheaves of wheat are you guys, my brothers. So he's being honest, I guess. Okay? And then he has another dream, and these are true. He has another dream. And he tells this to his parents and to his brothers. He says, I was out. One time, in this dream, I was standing out in the field, and there's stars. There's 11 stars and a moon. And all the stars and the moon bowed down to me. And that's you, my brothers, and that's you, my dad. You all are going to worship me. Wow. Nobody really likes Joseph at this point, right? And you can see why, right? He's a little snitch, and he thinks he's pretty grand. Truthfully, did he have truth?
Yeah,
he told them the truth. Why did he tell them?
Because he wanted to sound horrible.
I don't know, maybe. I guess if I had that dream, I might keep it to myself.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea, right? Especially if you know your brothers are all against you.
But if he kept it to himself, they would have never shut him off.
Okay, so verse number 11, let's start off with his brother's reactions to the dreams. 11, 12, 13, 14, where have we left off?
And his brother envied him, but his father observed the same.
And Israel said upon Joseph, do not thy brethren be for the flock and skin. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him,
he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out into the vale of Ephraim, and he came to Shechem.
Okay, so his brothers are out tending sheep. His brothers are angry, and they're out tending sheep. Do you notice the problem with this? There's a problem unsaid, but it's a problem with the family. He didn't have to go tend the sheep, right? He's set. You're good. Your brothers will go take care of it for you. You just stay here. All right? So in my family, we've been doing wood, cutting wood again, and you see all these interesting things when you ask people to work. So I've got a 10 and a 9 and a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. And everybody finds ways to not work, right? But particular, the 4-year-old is really good at it. Because he sits up, he'll go and he'll find a spot and he'll sit up on a ledge and he'll sort of play with a piece of wood for a little bit. Oh, look, isn't this a great piece of wood? And really, he's trying to not do things. And once in a while, I won't notice. But the very first minute that he's not doing it, what do you think his sisters say? Why isn't he working? Okay? And they're young, and he's young, but they know immediately who's not working, who gets away with things, and who doesn't. And here's Joseph, right? He stayed home because Dad said, all you boys go out and take care of the family business. But Joseph stayed with me. And then he says, you know what, Joseph? Why don't you go out and check on your brothers? Make sure they're doing okay. That means, I don't really trust them, but you go out and make sure that they're not doing anything wrong. And come back and bring me a report. Okay? So they're pretty angry, and Joseph is now sent to check on them while they are working. Alright? How you guys doing? Working? Good. I gotta go home and tell Dad. Alright? And so, you know the story. Is he honest? He's absolutely honest. Oh, yes. He's honest about it, right? He is not humble at all, right? Not humble when he's approaching his brothers. He's got a lot to learn in life. A lot to learn. And Joseph will learn it. We know that Joseph learns it through really tough, tough circumstances. But again, he has a great deal to learn in his family, how to treat his family, all right? So, verse number 18 in the same chapter, 18 through 24, wherever we left off, please.
When they saw him afar off, before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Then they said, Joseph, thou hast said, one to another, behold, this do my trouble.
Come now, therefore, let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his grief.
And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him.
And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might bring him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again.
So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic,
okay, so there we are. Now, this is what you know for sure. What do you think the brothers have been talking about?
The dreams.
Yeah. The dreams, because what do they say? Oh, here comes the dreamer. And then somebody else says, let's kill him, throw him down in a pit, and we'll see how well his dreams come true. Okay? Right? This sounds like brothers, right? Friendly, loving, kind, all those things. Right? They're communicating very well. They all agree. They hate Joseph, right? They all hate Joseph very much. Except for Reuben. Reuben is the oldest, and what does Reuben do?
He's like, let's not kill him.
Let's be a little more responsible than just killing our brother. It might not work out well
for us.
Just
throw him in a pit.
Right? Because you see that Reuben, as the oldest, which is Also typical in almost every family, you will find that the oldest ones takes a really high level of responsibility. Okay? Personally, they take extra responsibility on as the oldest. Just what happens in that birth order, okay? They tend to do that. They begin, tend to be more responsible. And as you go down, they're a little more carefree, okay? And the babies just, get it done for me, all right? Those things happen in a family, right? But Reuben's more responsible and says we cannot kill him. Guys, yeah, I hate him too, but we can't kill him. Throw him in the pit. We'll punish him a little bit for what he said to us, and we'll be all set. And Reuben is thinking they're going to make him pay. They're going to get him afraid. Okay, he's going to wet his pants down there because we threw him down there, and he's just, yep. We're going to make him think that we got control. We're going to show him we got control. Reuben is thinking this, and Reuben is thinking, and then we'll pull him out and send him home, and he will not be a snitch anymore. But the brothers in the middle are out for blood. Literally. They're not satisfied with that. All right? Verse 25. Let's keep reading 25 through 35 and see what happens and what they do. Wherever we left off, please.
And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt.
Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brother and the fortune to him." And
there passed by the Midianites with fortune to him, and they drew up.
Reuben lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to his sons, and he brought Joseph in. When Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes.
And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?"
And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood.
And they set the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now where it be thy son's coat or not."
And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces."
And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days.
And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Okay? So, Reuben walks away. They sit down while he's in the pit to eat lunch. Right? They're going to eat some lunch. Joseph's in the pit. Reuben walks away for whatever reason. They see these Ishmaelites. Now, whether he's out tending sheep or something because he's a little more responsible, right, than the boys, they all sit down for lunch. We're good. Reuben's out somewhere, probably looking after sheep, fixing a problem or something, comes back. Joseph's gone.
They're like, "You don't want my kid."
Right. Now, I know you and your families, you may personally feel like you'd like to sell one of your siblings into slavery some days, okay? But it's probably a bad idea, okay? Right? It's really a bad idea if you just sold your sibling, your brother or sister, to someone. And he's gone. And I don't mean the neighbor, but another country. These people are slave traders, right? The brothers hated him. And I mean with a deep hatred. And they just acted on this. No problem. They're pretty cold. Judah actually came up with the idea to sell him as a slave. The other brothers still wanted to kill him. But when they said, "Okay, we'll sell him. We'll make a little cash off of it. Silver piece for everybody." Okay? That's good. Now think about this. Once that's done, the transaction, what do you buy with silver? That's I don't know. What would you? Do you think you feel bad? Maybe.
No.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. They seem to be afraid a little bit because Reuben came back and said, what are we going to tell my father? He's gone? Okay? He's just gone? We never found him? And so they came up with the whole coat thing and they put blood on it from something, killed it, put blood on it, sent it back. Oh man, he must have died from this. Okay? And now you go back home with your family and you are living a lie all together. Who's squealing first? You think that was going to be a good family dynamic? Not just a little lie like, oh yeah, we broke the window kind of lie. This is the lie as we sold our brother into slavery and all agreed to do it. And we spent the money, okay? Right? And we don't know where he is. We're pretty sure, we hoped he was dead, I guess. That's, now you're living the rest of your life with that in the family. There's always a hush-hush. Don't say anything. You shut up about that. You don't say a word about that. Somebody's crying over there. Can't believe we did that. You shut up and you stop those tears because we got to cover this up. It happened and it's over. And this goes on for a long time. The brothers grow up. They stay in a big family unit together. Okay? And then we read lots about Joseph's story. Joseph becomes, essentially through a whole bunch of things, he's a slave. He's sold as a slave. He's accused of adultery with one of his slaves, with his